Good morning. Good morning. Okay, hello. I have such an exciting word from you for the Lord today. It's so great. I'm glad you came. Yeah. Thank you. It's nice. Come on, man. We're supposed to have life and more abundantly. Yeah, live like that, walk like that, talk like that. We have been taken from darkness into light. We have been saved. Sin is broken. I hear my master's voice, and this is my day of awakening. I've already been awakened to the gospel. I've been taken out of a city of darkness. I've been taken into a city of light, and I'm living gloriously. I'm living blessed. I'm living highly favored, not in a religious sense of the word, but in truth, because of the imputed righteousness of God to me, because God is my Father. He is my other Father who is in heaven, and He loves me, and He dotes on me. How about you? You've got to act like it. You've got to be joyous. You've got to be excited. I haven't even started preaching yet. And just one other thing with our Unity Light Service, the big huge map will be on display. So you'll have a little red tag or color tag where your house is. And what we also want to do this year is, if you've had the opportunity to pray for somebody on your, if you've been a light on your street, and maybe you got to minister to somebody or somebody got saved, we want to video those testimonies before, and then we're going to play a whole bunch of testimonies. So I'm throwing it open there for you to come and see me, and we'll set it up so we can video it, and all the different churches are going to be having the same response. And that, you know that whole thing, cardboard testimony, I was a sinner, I was lost, and I was bound for hell, and then and now I'm saved and I'm heaven glory bound, and yeah, that stuff. Oh, man. You're trying to make it hard for me today, aren't you? Where's Francine? I need Francine. Okay. Frank, come and pray for me. There's no technology required here. Hey? I got things.
Lord, we declare that this is a day of awakening.
Yes.
And Lord, we say, awaken our hearts. Lord, we say our hearts will be awakened. Lord, we pray your anointing upon Mark. Lord, we pray your anointing upon our hearts and our ears. And Lord, we say, speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Because I'm such an insecure person, I want you to do something for me. Just so I know that we are awakened. I'm going to count to three, and then we're all going to shout loud. Okay? Whether you're comfortable with it or not. One, two, three. Okay, I saw some of your mouths, your inside language, but I can't help you. Holy Spirit, help those people. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 121. No, I'm joking. 126. That's how close we got. Psalm 126, and then take your finger and put it into 1 Peter chapter 5. Got your sword with you? If you haven't got your sword, I'm sorry for you. Okay. Well, Lord, I'm going to preach. And if they hear, they hear. What is so amazing about grace? What is so amazing about grace? So what we've done, we've looked at it, a number of things, and you can see we're on part 11 by now. And one of the things I spoke about on when we looked at eradicating guilt, because guilt is not a thing of God, comes from the devil and ourselves. And we looked at the ideal self and the punitive self and how that is. If you don't remember what I'm talking about, go and listen to preach number 8. And how we try and make amends through our punitive self when our punitive self speaks to our ideal self and says, you're not good enough, you can't make this, you're not good enough, you can't do this, and then we try hard and we get into guilt and we try and run around and we think we can change this and fix this because now I feel all guilty. And like some of you might be feeling guilty now that you didn't shout. Don't. Be free. Be happy. Because it's not of God. And we looked at three things. We looked at not dealing with guilt and shame and why we can't accept this amazing grace. We believe that I owe a debt, that a debt is owed. And if we start thinking like that, then it was God. We then decided, well, God said, if I die for you, will you follow me? And he just said, I'll die for you. Yeah. And then the third thing we looked at is we carry vestiges of pride. Humility, humble humility, spiritual humility. Chris, you gave such announcements this morning. You did it so well with Susan's help.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't me. It was God. Yeah, no. No, it was you. God uses you. Jess, you led worship so well this morning. There you go. That's the right response. Thank you. No, it was God in me and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the third look at the cross. Anyway, I'm not even getting to my notes. Another area that we look at that we find us flat-footed in when we find it's a thing that just moves us downward. It never moves us upward. Ken, and I want to speak this morning on restoration of dreams. I'm not talking about having a dream, and let me help you interpret it. I'm talking about a dream, a vision, an aspiration that you've had. And the enemy has come along and shrunk your world for you, and shrunk you because of society, and shrunk you because of a whole lot of things. A little while ago, this was a very freeing word for Bridget and I, because sometimes we were made to feel almost like, well, you came here, and what you did in South Africa didn't work, won't work here, and that's true to an extent. But there was a dream and a vision that God gave us for coming to Canada. And like, well, God made a mistake. He should have made Bridget and I made us born in Canada. No. We were born in South Africa for a reason. And he brought us here for a reason. And we had to see that and not be shrunk. Because you don't speak right, Mark. You don't say the words right. You don't actually understand the expressions. Trust me, we've done a whole lot of study on the psyche of Canadians. And we understand them so much better now. And when we get South Africans coming here, we sit them down and say, listen, guys, we don't want to shrink you, but this, you don't need to do. And say, it's not helpful in this culture, in this society. But the point I'm saying is do not let... What's the word I'm thinking of? Political correctness shrink your vision in God. Shall I say that again? Did you get it? Do not allow society and what the people want to throw on you at work and in your job environment and political correctness. The Bible is not politically correct. Jesus came, says, I came to bring a sword. What? Anybody who gives up or forsakes home and family for the sake of the gospel will be rewarded. What? I came to set brother against brother and father against son and mother against daughter, the Bible says. Surely not. No. But you have to look at the truth behind and the context of that. And don't go, well, that means I can fight with mom and dad. Cool. No, it doesn't mean that. It means you need to obey them and honor them. Anyway, Psalm 126. So, lost dreams. And did I say that part? Lost dreams and aspirations. So, when we have made a failure, and we'll talk about that just now, it's not time to throw in the towel. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb, And if you study this piece of scripture, it does not mean wealth and riches and cars and that kind of stuff. It means people. Because this was written in a time when they were in exile, and we're talking about the post-exilic period where they were coming out and restored our fortunes, and look how God, we've been in captivity for hundreds of years, we've been stuck down there in Babylon, and now we're going home, and He will restore our fortunes. Okay. Like streams of the Negev, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing his crop with him, bringing his product of his joyousness in the Lord with him. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, before any of you come and say afterwards, but Mark, this was written to the shepherds and the elders and the pastors. I know that. But it's also applicable for all of us. We're going to read from verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Promotion comes from the Lord, not from yourself. Your ministry doesn't come from you, it comes from God. Your wealth doesn't come from you, it comes from God. Your business acumen doesn't come from you, it comes from God. Your wife came from God. Not the other dude. Your husband came from God, not the other dude. It was for Christmas season. Yeah, come on. Children, kids, your parents are from God. And you are a gift from God, not the other dude. Okay, did I get that right? Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Doesn't mean he can. Doesn't mean he is able. Seeking for someone. And when we open it to him, we get a little good Afrikaans word, a chaps taken out of us. A bite. I know it sounds better in Afrikaans. Chaps. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:11, we won't go there just for the sake of time, it says to us that we should aim for restoration. Hallelujah. Thus endeth this reading. Another word for us is lost dreams and aspirations. What? Come on. You got to have fun. Yeah, cue cards. Yeah. Okay. So the two in the front here have got a bit of Holy Ghost going on them, and they're having a whole lot of fun. As for the rest of us, let's go. Another aspiration lost is barrenness. Barrenness in your soul, in your life. If you feel there's a bit of a dryness, a bit of barrenness, my dreams are not being fulfilled in God, I'm desperate, I don't know what to do, then this word is for you today. We need to keep in one thing in mind though before we pray. You know, we have to have this big picture so we can look through the filter and the groove, because if we don't, we get so messed up that we won't understand it. We need to know, number one, that we keep in mind a clear picture of the nature of the Father. And the nature of the Father is He is not mean-spirited. He is not judgmental, and He's not a punishing God. He does not punish you. He's not mean-spirited. Well, I'm just going to make them suffer a little bit because they're so disobedient. Now, that's called discipline, and it's healthy and it's loving. He is never disillusioned with us. He is never disillusioned. Nothing we can do, Frankie always says, and then there's God. Because we think we've done something, we've messed up so bad, He didn't know that it was going to happen, He didn't know that it happened, and now, Oh, I'm so disappointed in this child of mine. What am I going to do with him? His plan is to replace our despair and disillusionment. You remember I did that thing on the categories of all the D's? Disgruntled, the depressed, the this. Well, here's a few more. Disillusioned, disgruntled, all the DK, with his wondrous, perfect other D for us. His dream for us. He has a dream for us. And all we have to do is walk in it. He is not caught off guard by our failures. But you don't know how many times I've failed, Mark. That's true. But he is not caught off guard by it. He gives us grace to fill us with fresh vision and new dreams and new aspirations. He is wonderful, perfect, loving, kind, infinite, passionate, and wants the very best for us in life as we journey forward. God always wants the very best for you. The elders, the pastors of this church, this is not a Ripley's, believe it or not, want the best for you in your life. And we are not disillusioned because of God's work in your life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke 22. When he called each one of us, he knew ahead of time when, how, and why we would mess up. I know this might be very simple this morning. It's meant to be. But because we always think that we're running around in our own little bubble and the world is spinning around us and that God is totally oblivious of us, and only when we really get into desperate trouble, we burst out the bubble and then we shout, "Oh God, please help me!" But he's been with us all the time. Neither sleeps nor slumbers. Psalm 121 this morning. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. The you in this verse 31 is actually in the Greek, it's in the plural. So all the other disciples are also listening and they're standing by paying attention to this. But in verse 32, it's in the singular. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And then Peter goes on, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Yeehaw, I'll do this, God. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And we know the rest of the story. And we need to see here that God was not disillusioned. He didn't fall about when Peter said this to him. And he said, but Peter, I'm going to pray for you that when you turn back, when you metanoia, when you have a full repentance and understanding, that you will strengthen your brothers. And then we get, later on, we get to Acts chapter 2. And there Peter is standing up and he's declaring with the 11 around him. And he's declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. These men are not drunk as you think they are. These men, it is only the 9th hour in the morning. And they have had an encounter with the God, the King of heaven, the Lord of lords, the Master. Those aren't the words in the scripture, but that's what he's saying. And we shouldn't be afraid because God has a perfect plan for each one of us and a dream and maybe more and some aspirations that he wants to see us walk into. In the mystery of his God economy, he has a tolerance and an allowance, a buffer zone, if you may, for failure. When we grasp hold of this, it will breed in us a greater passion and love for him as it did for Peter. When we understand, don't worry God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get that right and I'm going to go there. Do you know how many people said when we left South Africa and said, Mark, don't worry, when you go to Canada and plant your church, we're coming with you. Those, put up your hand. Oh, no, they're not. You know, in a moment of passion and excitement, sometimes we have good ideas and sometimes they are God ideas. We need to look for the God ideas. The good ideas sound wonderful. Luke chapter 9, you can go and read there. And Jesus, when he comes and he says, you know, who will follow me? And it talks about the different disciples, whole different sermon there. And they, I'll do this and I'll do that and just let me go bury my father and let me just go and release the oxen and I'll come with you and I'll do this. And Jesus just cuts them all down. Says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Give up everything and follow me. And they all made these little excuses because it seemed right in the moment of time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God births something into your heart and gives you a dream that maybe has been shrunk, that maybe your hope has been deferred, makes the heart grow sick. Barrenness in our quest for God or loss of dreams leads to cynicism. It leads to skepticism. And then it leads to unbelief. So many people, well, the Bible says that if I pray for people, they'll get healed. And I prayed for this person, they never got healed. I have a friend now, a wonderful guy, who's almost got to the point, loves Jesus, but he doesn't believe in healing. Because one of his mother-in-law got cancer, and although he prayed, she died. And so he's lost it. Saying, that doesn't happen. Trying to think of the guy's name. I read his book, his biography. Prayed for 1,000 people before the first one got healed. Oral Roberts, thank you. And then he used to just sit in the chair, and they used to walk past him. And then while they were out there, they just throw their crutches away. I don't know how that works. I wish I knew. Because then I'd put it in a bottle and I'd sell it. No, I'm joking. I probably would. No, I won't. Okay, anyway. Do you remember the story of David and Michal? She was a gift to David from her father Saul because he killed the Philistines. And then David has this thing about the ark and he wants to bring the ark back, but he gets nervous when Uzzah touches it and the Lord says, you don't touch this thing, you die. And he dies, so he takes this, he says, I'm taking this, I'm taking it to Obed-Edom. And it gets to Obed-Edom, and everybody's rejoicing, and there's blessing, and David says, no, that's my dream. That's my dream. He says, come guys, let's go get this. So he goes to Obed-Edom, he gets the ark, and he brings it home, and what is David doing? He, in his underwear, in his jockeys, in modern day language, he's dancing. If you go and do the study, you see he danced for 21 miles. We're too frightened to dance for 21 centimeters here. 21 inches. Yeah, he danced before the Lord joyously. I know when you go to discos and nightclubs, it's all different. I know. Hey, that's your guilt, not mine. I'm putting on you. And so David dances and Michal stands and she looks at him and goes, what are you? What is wrong with you? She carried the same thing in her heart that her father carried. Cynicism, ugliness, skepticism, and anger. And you remember when they sang about David? Saul's killed his 1,000s, David's killed 10,000s. He became spear thrower. Started throwing spears at David and trying to kill him. But now we see that Michal says here, 2 Samuel 6:16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said to him, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of the servants. Can you just see this happening? Female servants as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this. Another scripture says, more undignified than this. And I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. She became barren. There was a barrenness. And you see David in a moment of sheer exhilaration is praising the Lord and excited and dancing. And because it was hot, he strips down. That's my version. And he keeps going and he is dancing and full of joy before the Lord. And the problem is that when you say she criticized him, she became cynical and she came poor in understanding of who God was. Remember what we said who God is? About the, as her father did when people sang about him, and she just continued and she became disengaged about the whole process. And I just want to challenge the parents here today. Sidebar. Your young children, how are they watching you dance before the Lord? How are they watching you? Well, let's just start there. Worship before the Lord. How do they see you in honor of the King? Raise your hand. The reason we raise hands is a sign of surrender to Him. Or do they just watch my dad or my mom dialed out here? Wow. Okay. I'll just carry on with my thing here. Or are you being examples and bringing them up in the way of the Lord, teaching them to worship and honor the King? Because without worship, Tyrone says, there is no mission. Think about it. When we do not worship the King, there is no mission. So this morning, what is your barrenness? What is our barrenness? What is your hope deferred, your unfulfilled dreams? Are you marking time? Have you lost vision and hope? Have you got failed expectations of God? Do you run with your plans or do you run with His plans? Are you being fulfilled in His plans? We all need hope in Christ. We all want to see and step into the dream that He has for us. We don't want to be skeptical or cynical, skeptical, unbelief. It's just too hard. It doesn't work anymore for me. Yet like Peter, if we turn like in the book of Acts, when Peter stands up, he strengthens his brothers. As I said, I'm not even talking about a ministry. Can I just be honest? I think we make ministry the thing. I've got to have my ministry. If you just lived as a Christian and lived as a witness and lived as God has called us to, that is your ministry. But we want to make it. Mark Elwood, Ministry International. For what? One of my pet sayings is, I want to captivate the genius of plodding after the King. I do not need my name in highlights. I do not need my name on a billboard. I do not need my name on a book. I just want to be known. Follow Jesus. I'm talking about your dreams and your aspirations in your daily work, in your job, in your career, in your marriage, in your family life. To achieve your fullest potential in Him. Your children, your dreams for your children, your family, your spouses, your future. What is God saying with us? I hear His voice and this is my awakening. Be awakened to what He is saying to you. Not be looking over there. I've told you before, so I'm not going to go over it again. My thing was to be a rock star for Jesus. Yeah, I wanted to be a rock star for Jesus. And then I stood along other guys and I heard them sing and I heard me sing. And He said, come with me, my boy. And I realized I wasn't going to be a rock star for Jesus. And then He said, I'm going to call you to be a pastor. I said, a pastor? Jesus, you know me. I get disillusioned with people quickly. And if they don't do things my way, then it's the highway. And then Jesus got into my little heart here and He changed a whole lot of things and He twisted this around and He got up into my head and changed it. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, the men's breakfast. He says, yeah, no, I've got a pastor friend who jokes. He says he loves the church, but it's just the people. I said, you know what, bud? I said, can I just be honest? I won't even joke like that. Because to be a pastor is people oriented. If you do not love people, then get out of it. Don't even try it. He was like, yeah, no, he was joking. I said, yeah, no, for me, it's not even a decent joke. It's not in my notes. I don't know why I'm doing this. Remember the story of the servant and the talents? Well, he got 5 and he got 2 and he got 1. And he did and he multiplied and the one guy got 1. He said, what happened to you? He says, well, I knew you were a hard task man, so I just buried it. And that's it. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. Give that one and give it to the one who's now got 10. Now put him in charge. You, go. How are you doing with your talents that God has given you? And then maybe you think God, who is a hard taskmaster, if I don't get that C chord right, well, I won't fit so nicely. Or maybe you've been hurt in fulfilling your leader, your talent, whatever it is. Today, if you hear your master's voice, it is your day of awakening. Sometimes we just got to get to the cutting edge of it and say, suck it up, buttercup. I don't mean that like that. I'm so happy this morning. But we have to get to a point where we say, I'm maturing in Christ Jesus. I don't know how to deal with this thing. Somebody help me. Help me to deal with things. Help me to walk this line. It sounds like a song. I'm going to stop there. Suck it up, buttercup, yeah. Do you know how generous our Father is? How open He is? Do not allow people to distort your view of God. If you have a distorted view of God, change it. Get in and ask Him, Father, reveal yourself to me more than has been revealed before. I need to understand your heart. I have so much to offer. I have so much to give. But I'm just going to sit on my little blessed assurance because I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. You know, when I stand up in this pulpit every single Sunday, I stand up here, I have an opportunity to get hurt. I also have an opportunity to offend someone. But that cannot hold me back from the call of God on my life. Because I do not ever prepare a sermon in the hopes of, let me see. Michael did something this week I didn't really like. No, let me just raise that point there and you'll get it. It's ungodly. It's terrible. Thank you, Chris. Can I have a sip? John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But as a clarity, we have been made free. Chris is getting excited again. We shouldn't be in a place where I have to do this, I've got to do this. Don't allow religious bigots give a false idea of who God is. Allow Scripture to teach you who God is. We see that Peter says, he's going to do this all. And Jesus says, when you turn back, in Acts chapter 2, he stands up full of glory, full of grace, full of anointing. And he says, his whole message there. So what is God like? He takes us on his lap with all our frailties, with all our, as we would say, warts and all. And he looks at us and says, I love you. I have a dream. I have a purpose. I have an anticipation for you. I shared with the guys yesterday at the men's breakfast. When I knew it was from God because it's nothing that I would dream of because it had to do with gambling. I was, and I've never gambled or that before. I was sitting on a horse in a race, you know, in the box of things there. And they go, chick, and all the horses jump out. And I was in there and the gate went up and I bolted. But as I bolted, I was like, oh, where's the track? What's it look like? How's it go? Where's it go? So I leant over the horse's neck like this to like sort of see. Well, Lord, where are we going? And he said, I'm taking you. You relax. Just ride the horse. I was like, okay. Against my nature, because I like to know what's happening and where we're going and what we're doing. And And so people then often say to me, so why did you come to Canada? And so I do God. They go, okay. Well, what was that like? I said, I have no idea. It was in simple, foolish faith that I came. God had the plan. He told me not to try and look around the track and see what's going to happen. Of course, I had my ideas. I had a whole bunch of ideas on what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. Have any of you had ideas and a dream and a vision that God has given you? You think, ooh, this is good. And then it turns out, sort of, nothing like you thought, though. Anybody? Oh, so I'm talking to a few people. You understand what I'm talking about? Because alternatively, it's just your good idea that you've made happen. There we go. Jesus is ready. God is ready to restore. John chapter 4, the woman at the well comes and he takes time and he talks to her and says to her, so, how are you doing? How are you doing? She says, I'm doing good. He says, well, not really. Well, how so? He says, well, you've had 5 husbands and the one you're living with now is not even your husband. What was her response? Wow. No, big letters. Wow. She runs into the village. She says, come see a man who told me everything. And the village gets saved. Grace restores when you've lost hope. John chapter 8. Woman caught in the act of adultery. A whole pantomime is played out of there. And when we get down to grace restores, all you can hear in the sound of grace is stones hitting the floor. As each stone hits the floor, it's the sound of grace as God restores this woman. Well, you know, you got saved and you had a vision and God gave you a vision and you messed up. So sorry, bud. You've lost your inheritance. You're done. Sorry, Dom. Not happening for you. Really? I don't think so. Because then grace is limited to one time. You get one question, and if you mess up that question, you're done. I think God is a God of second chances. You know, means the God of second chances. I think He's a God of third chances. I think He's a God of fourth chances. I think He's a God of fifth chances. He is a God of grace. God is love. God doesn't just have love. God just doesn't do love. God is love. Why? It's because of His imputed righteousness to us. Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Some 7, number of perfection. 7, how many days in a week? 7 days in a week. There's a chance of God's grace upon your life every day of the week, which translates into every day of the month, every day of the season, da 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 da. Because if God was only a God of one chance, I wouldn't be here, and most of you probably wouldn't be here. But because He is a God of second chances, I'm not disillusioned with you, my son Mark. I know you messed up. And you know what I want to say, and I don't know if it's coming in the notes or I've missed it, but I want to tell you that failure, listen, if you didn't hear anything else to me this morning, listen to this. Failure is okay. Hell, woo. Okay, let's try this side. Failure is okay. Because God has got, there we go, there we go. I'm staying this side. God has built in His grace for us. And He knows when you're going to mess up. He knows when you walk out of here this morning. Actually, in fact, sometime while you're sitting here, some of you thinking, oh, this is so boring. I don't know. I just wish you'd shut up and get on so we can go and drink coffee. That's not okay. Failure is okay. It's okay to get messed up. We are bombarded by poor theology. We are bombarded by bad TV. We are bombarded by bad TV evangelists. We are bombarded by bad motivational speakers who give a poor understanding of the Word of God. Poor words that have been spoken over you. People trying their best to hear from God say stuff and you just suck it in. They said that, so there must be. Do they have a track record of hearing from God? Well, I don't know. Actually, have they, in a prophetic sense, been acknowledged? No. Well, why do you just suck in everything? Take it. You know, we had words spoken of ourselves. We got here, and we came in. We were invited into this church, and we were part of this thing. And we thought, we got aspirations. We got hopes. We got visions. And we said, what do you guys think about? No, we're not doing that. We said, okay. We went, Bridget went insane. And this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Please don't hear, there's no negativity in what I'm telling you. So Bridget said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to take that vision, that dream, we're going to put it on a, we're going to wrap it up nicely, and we're going to put it on the shelf. And when God says, it's your time, we're going to take it down off the shelf, we're going to unwrap it, and we're going to say, this is my awakening. Because we don't all have the same vision and dreams that God has placed inside of us. And so we came and we served and we said, no, well, okay, that's not going to work. Put it on the shelf. Now that God has awakened us and allowed us to have this privilege of leading this team in this church, we're taking those things off. We're hearing from God again and we're saying, so God, what about this one? No, it's not time for that one, my boy. Put it back. So let your dreams and your aspirations, don't let them die. Let them continue. Restorations. The prodigal son. I'm going to try and finish this quickly in 5 minutes. The prodigal son in Luke 15. An amazing picture of heart, God's heart to restore. You know the story. Chris has been at length over the prodigal son. I'm not going to try and redo it again. But what we need to understand is he went down and in this vortex is going down. He, in no way was he looking up. He was just saying, well, how deeper are we going in this thing here? And he got to the place and he says, I've sinned against my father and against God. I'm going to go back and ask for repentance and I'm going to go back home. And he got, and when he came, his father, and if you know, Old Testament times, in the Middle East times, a noble, a lord did not run. He walked. He walked everywhere because it was undignified to run. This nobleman runs to his son and he takes the best robe or the first robe, which means the robe, and he puts it on his son and he gives him the ring of royalty and acceptance. He has the family seal and he puts shoes on his feet because no nobleman walked barefoot. Only the slaves walked barefoot. And he says, you are welcomed home, restored. Let me restore to you the dreams that you had for this household, my son. Noah was a righteous man. In blind obedience, he built an ark. A what? We all just accept the word the ark. It's a big boat thing. A what? Say, God, what did you say? An ark, Noah. You know what an ark is. No. Well, it's going to rain. What? Rain. That's water, Noah. Okay. And then when Noah's done all this, he goes and he plants a vineyard and gets motherless, drunk. Hello. Hebrews 11, his name is immortalized in the annals of history and in scripture as being one of the greats. Abraham's nephew Lot, saved from destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole thing, and gets out of there. Yet, is duped by his daughters, they make him drunk, and they both commit incest with him, and he has two sons, I think sons or daughters, from his two daughters. What? 2 Peter 2:7 says, he is a righteous man. He failed, okay. David loved God greatly, but sinned greatly. I just don't have the time to go through all of David's nonsense, but the biggest thing was him and Bathsheba. And when we're in Israel, I was told the guys, if you go to David's palace, his portico, and you can look down because it's in the valley, you can see Bathsheba. So what was Bathsheba thinking about? Because she was down low in the valley and everybody who was above could see what she was up to. And then he gets her husband killed and then comes back and has the child. And then Nathan, the prophet, comes along and he just reads him a little story. Oh, whatever, that guy, they should take him out and kill him. She says, you, my lord. Oh, okay, that's not so good. Oopsie-doo, yeah. And so he goes and he prostrates him forth, and the baby dies. And when the baby dies, he says, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Wow, that was quite callous. But he knew that the illegitimate child was not of the time, but then the child of promise, Solomon, is born. The lineage of Jesus Christ is born. That's grace. That's restoration. So Mark, you say, why are you telling us all these stories about the guys who messed up? Does that mean that we can mess up? We can just go and do what we want and God's going to be gracious to us? No, because grace teaches us to say no to sin. Grace teaches us to move from the mentality of I have to do this, I have to do this, to I want to do this. I want to be with my brothers and sisters on a Wednesday night. I want to be with my brothers and sisters on a Sunday morning. And I want to be there at 10 o'clock when they're praying and hearing from God. And I want to be part of a life group. And I want to be part of this body and feed into the life of this body. I want to know. And I want to read the Word, because by reading the Word, I get to know my Father. And I want to pray, and I want to prophesy, and I want to whatever. In Acts 13:22, and when he had removed them, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And people always speculate, why was David a man after God's own heart? Well, number one is because he always kept short accounts. You see, when David always messed up, he never held on. He repented and apologized and said, I'm sorry, God, I messed up. More importantly, the Bible says, who will do all my will? Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. I've got a whole much more, but just for time's sake. Again, I'm just going to say, don't allow society to give you a different view of God. Don't let your friends, don't let some half-baked preacher evangelist on TV tell you a different story. If you've tried to make your dreams happen and it didn't happen, don't despair. Return to the Father. Say, Lord, you birthed this thing in me. You know, sometimes, well, it's just my dream. No, because God will give us the dream and the vision which we take for ourselves. But then we need to learn to walk with Him in it and not, okay, I got that. Cool, I'm going to go and do my own thing. Thanks, God. Cheers. I'm on my own now. And then we mess up, and what happens? God, please help me! Okay. Amazing grace restores and breathes life and brings joy and hope. Let's just leave it there. Failure is okay. It's not important how many times you get knocked down. It's important how many times you get up. That counts. You don't understand? I've been knocked down 10, 11 times. Yeah, okay. How many times did you get up? 12. Great. Got knocked down 2 times. How many times did you get up? Well, I didn't like the idea. I thought about it, but then I got up. Wonderful. Victory. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this day, Lord. Father, we bring our dreams and our aspirations before you. Father God, I pray that you would infuse us once again to return to you, the restorer of our dreams and our aspirations. Father, we would not be like Michael. Father, we would be not that we would be unrepentant, Lord God. We would be repentant, Father, that we would come before you and we would allow your grace to invade our lives, Lord. That your grace would restore us, that our inheritance is still true, individually and corporately for this body, Lord. Father, God, we ask you, part us with your blessing this morning. Let us live in the glory and the understanding of our generous and gracious Father, who is kind and loving and compassionate upon us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.